Hello, and welcome to For Public Consumption. I'm your host, Sharon Sells Belton, Vice President of Government Affairs and Community Relations for Thomson Reuters. You know, as a technology company, we innovate and create technology to help people find answers and solutions to some of the world's greatest problems. But today, we're going to take a break from looking at how technology can serve professionals to learn how an organization in our own backyard here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, has taken technology to solve a larger global problem, hunger. You know, hunger impacts about 2 billion people worldwide, and of that number, 240 million are women, children, and the elderly who live in sub-Saharan Africa. Hunger and malnutrition can be the start of many socioeconomic issues. Inefficient food processing of grain, corn, and other crops, which is often done by women in grueling conditions, can lead to about 30% loss of that food. One organization, Compatible Technologies International, has taken action and designed and developed tools that can aid in producing food 7 times faster than they're doing it today. These simple handheld powered tools help sustain growth in the quantity and as well the quality of crops for these local farmers and their communities. As World Hunger Day approaches, Thomson Reuters is proud to help raise money to contribute to the purchase of these tools that will empower and strengthen the lives of those local farmers. For more about CTI, I'm joined today by Alexandria Spildot, the executive director of CTI, who's here to expand on the organization's efforts and how this month-long campaign with Thomson Reuters and its employees can help people around the world. Welcome, Alexandria.
Nice to see you too, Sharon.
Tell us a little bit more about CTI and what you're doing to combat hunger in developing countries.
Absolutely. CTI is a global nonprofit that's based here in the Twin Cities, whose primary mission is to tackle hunger and poverty in developing countries, but particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. And we do that in particular by focusing on solutions for small farmers who are traditionally producing food on maybe 4 hectares of land, maybe 4 to 6 acres of land in the English and American terms.
I was just going to ask you that, right? Not everybody knows what a hectare is
in other countries, correct. So in other words, small plots of land, and they're doing that work primarily with a hand hoe, their hands, they're processing food with a mortar and pestle, and we see this as hugely inefficient. And our goal is to really help them get more yields from their harvest, but also to be able to increase their revenue by selling their crops in the market. And based on global statistics on hunger, we know that there's a huge opportunity. I don't know if you know that UN report just came out with its 2018 publication on hunger, and it highlights the fact that hunger is on the rise. 820 million people now globally who are hungry. And that goes into the billions when we look at hidden hunger and all the different components of that. And about 250 million people in sub-Saharan Africa now who are hungry. And that represents close to 25% of the populations there. And so it's a huge problem. It's a travesty, and it's something that we just can't allow to continue. Not only that, so much of the food that's produced in Africa is produced by smallholder farmers. When you look at statistics on hunger and poverty, you also see that the majority of those who are struggling are women and children and elderly. It's the most vulnerable subset. And because women do so much of the food preparation and food processing for their families, we see that we can invest in them, and we can invest in hunger, and we can invest in Africa's ability to feed herself rather than import food through the kinds of solutions that we bring.
Well, it sounds like your organization is providing comprehensive service that has benefit along a whole host of areas. So number one, we're getting more food to the marketplace, so less people be hungry. we're bringing smart tools to the farmers so that they can produce their yield. And we're also dealing with personal or individual poverty and helping people to become more self-sufficient. That's a lot of outcomes that are packed into this organization, and that's absolutely phenomenal. This problem of world hunger has been with us for quite some time. How long has CTI been doing this work? And tell us a little bit about how this initiative got started.
So indeed, we're tackling a whole range of complex issues. It's food systems work. And we recognize there's no magic bullet for that. But we are coming at the problem with some simple solutions that we believe have a big impact. In fact, we were founded 37 years ago. And we were founded by a food scientist out of General Mills who had a vision to help the rural poor with simple solutions, simple technology solutions and training that could really make a big difference. Our first project back in the day was in India. We've been in Latin America. We've been throughout Asia with our tools. We have a multiple crop grinder. We have different machines over the years to help thresh crops, to shell nuts, to dry crops, and to store. So we are really providing those simple solutions for that bottom billion, and we were a visionary organization then, and we are today as well.
Wow, that's incredible. Tell me a little bit more about the experience of the farmer that's actually using this equipment. And it would be good to first understand how hard it is to do it without, you know, the technology, and something about how much better it is once people can get access to these incredible tools that CTI is creating.
It really takes a woman an entire day. You know, she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and starts her whole range of chores for her family that also include collecting water and fuel in cases where they don't have access to basic charcoal and other things. They're also collecting wood from forests. But she then dries her crops, then she moves into the actual processing of her crops. So this takes her the whole day to prepare basically the dinner for her family, and hours of time simply processing grain, for example. With CTI's equipment, she can process her grain in minutes as opposed to 4 to 5 hours. So it's a huge impact on the time that is saved and also on the amount of labor that she expends just to prepare the family meal.
Wow, that's just incredible. I mean, I know I've talked to a lot of farmers in our own community about how hard it is to get things done, but they have the benefit maybe of a few more people and a lot more equipment. What went into deciding what kind of equipment you were going to create? And tell me a little bit about the design process.
Absolutely. So we really believe in human-centered design. And in a nutshell, what that means is going in and listening to farmers, understanding what their needs are before we get started. In fact, not only before we get started, but along the way. What do they grow? Where do they sell their crops? How much time do they spend in their day to process their food? What's the dynamic between women and their husbands? How many kids do they have? What's the size of their family, et cetera, et cetera? How are they storing their crops? And based on that, we then move to design equipment. We focus on remote areas, farmers who lack access to roads enough in many cases, that don't have power, running water, because that's where we see we can make a big difference. And so we start with that premise, and we start also with an understanding that farmers lack financial capital. So big, expensive machines are really out of the question. They're for more formalized markets. Mm-hmm. So we start with simple hand-operated machines, pedal-powered machines, or simple motorized machines that can help them. And we don't assume that just because she is poor or living in poverty that we're going to just hand her whatever we feel like she needs. Mm-hmm. In fact, she's a co-designer in that process. And based on our conversations with her and her feedback, we are in a continuous loop to improve the designs of the equipment and to test it with her and to test it with her community so that we feel confident along the way that we are having that impact.
You know, I've had the opportunity to see some video of women pounding grain with the pestle and mortar, and then I've also had the opportunity to see them sitting on what looks kind of like a bicycle, just kind of pedaling and then, grinding the wheat. And it's just amazing, number one, just to see the sheer joy in their faces as they realize the improvement in the yield. Tell me a little bit more about how you're seeing the impact of these tools in actually changing people's lives.
It's so important. I mean, on the one hand, to have quantitative and scientific data in terms of the efficiencies of the machine or how many hours are saved, the amount of crop that's saved. But also that testimony is so critical. And we look at social and more qualitative indicators as well that, again, are based on our ability to interview in the community. In cases where communities are illiterate so much of the time, we also use something called image grouping. We've been working with the Improve group based here in St. Paul, actually, to capture data through images with some of the women's groups that we've been engaging with in
Senegal. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we have categories in terms of the types of animals that they are taking care of. Mm-hmm. Again, the types of crops that they grow, their lives before and their lives after. So we do baseline research with them in the community. Then we go in after we've delivered the tool and trained them with the tool to then also get feedback from them in terms of how they see their lives have improved with the tool. And we're just so excited to continue to engage in that way because it's all about the relationships that we're building with people and the solidarity that is the basis, in my view, of what success really looks like. So this is quite important. We are also capturing testimony of women who are dancing because they have more time. Our contribution to certain religious and cultural traditions,
right,
where Christians and Muslims are sharing food,
yes,
and using our technology to process food to then share with one another. So there's a whole range of experiences that come out of the work that we do. And I would say that international development work, food security work, all of this is another way to come at peace and security as well. You can't have peace and security if you don't have stabilized communities and communities that, you know, with well-being. And so we see that by contributing to more food, to more stable communities, to gender equity, that we are also having an impact on peace and security in the regions where we're working.
Well, it's wonderful to hear that CTI is not only addressing the issues of hunger, but also building community and also improving the lives of individuals that are impacted by the resources that CTI is bringing to the community. You talked a little bit a moment ago about security in the broader context, and I'd like to just ask you one last question because I'd like to go into that a little bit deeper. Tell me again about how you believe that this work that you're doing addressing food insecurity is really helping us to build community and maybe even more stable global environment.
So I think there are a couple of things. One is that, you know, there's hunger, and we often talk about hunger. It's less wonky than food insecurity.
Right. But
hunger really in the sense of having enough food in your belly versus food insecurity, which is about access. Mm-hmm. It's about having enough available food. It's about nutritious food. It's about being able to afford the food and really to be able to access food. And therefore, it is political by nature.
Yes.
It's about constructs. It's about how we organize our society so that everyone is benefiting and that there is well-being for all. And so I see that our work is doing both. We are addressing hunger on the one hand, but we're also playing an important role in strengthening food security and access. And for me, that is so much more sustainable. It's a very powerful concept, and it's something that we can all get behind. One last thing I wanted to add, Sharon, two things actually. One is that I didn't mention earlier that 30% of our food is actually lost in sub-Saharan Africa. And that happens really at post-harvest in terms of food that's rotting or spoils or what have you. So by helping farmers to process their food more efficiently at the post-harvest stage. We're actually saving food, and that's so important also in the context of climate change, right, where there's less food available and we can increase the amount of food, again, being grown and shared within the region. And the second thing, and so importantly, is I wanted to thank you for inviting CTI to speak with Thomson Reuters, for being a partner with CTI, and for you yourself as a woman leader who really understands and gets behind this work, because it is my hope to really develop and surround myself with strong women leaders also in the United States who understand the importance of this work and who are investing in other women globally to also become leaders in their own right. So thank you so much.
Well, just following that last note, since you made this call and shout out to women around the world who are listening to this podcast, how do we get a hold of CTI?
You can get a hold of CTI in so many ways. Certainly you can call us, and the number is 651-632-3912. You can email us at cti@compatibletechnology.org. You can stop by our office in St. Paul, which is 800 Transfer Road. And of course, I would give you my cell phone number, but maybe we'll hold on that this particular time. But you can always go through Sharon and through her team to reach any of our staff at CTI.
I know there's a website out there also, and so
www.compatibletechnology.org.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for visiting with us today, and we look forward to partnering with you in the future.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.